Every other Monday, we check in on East 3rd Street with the Bloomington Police Department. That means Captain Steve Kellums joins us. Captain Kellums, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning, Glass. How are you doing today?
Well, just getting the Halloween candy sorted and the costumes all ready for next Monday. There's about 4,000 Halloween events. It's like the month of October now is Halloween. It's just not the last day. And I'm all for it from the candy side of things. And with two small children, that works. They are my my laborers that go out and collect. And and then I'll
so you have your costume all picked out. You know what you're going for Halloween?
That's exactly. I'm going as disgruntled management again. That's going to be four or five years in a row that I've done that. But no, I'll leave it to the youngsters because they get the sympathy vote. People are wondering why I'm lurking in the bushes waiting for candy, and that's not a good idea. That's not a fun thing to do there on Halloween. So we'll get to that next week. But we know Halloween safety is a big issue this time of year. What are some of the things over your years of experience? It's pretty simple, isn't it? Make sure that kids are on the sidewalks. They're going to go crazy. They're full of candy. We know that. Do you have some tips for us since we won't talk to you next Monday?
You know, just some, like you said, some of the basic stuff. Remember the trick-or-treating hours and make sure you follow those. Those are always really helpful because we know that people are prepared for the kids. They've got the lights on and all that great stuff. Keep the kids on the sidewalks. Make sure you walk with your kids, especially those 11, 12, 13-year-olds. You start thinking they're old enough to be on their own, but you realize they're wandering through neighborhoods, going up strange houses by themselves. So it's a good idea to be out there and keep an eye on them.
It is. And again, grab a flashlight. Be safe. You got potholes to step in, all that fun stuff. When you have masks on, it's hard to see. And I think from not even from the trick-or-treater standpoint, but from the community standpoint, if you're driving through neighborhoods like Sherwood Oaks or wherever these places are where 1,000 kids live, please slow down. Please be aware of it.
We
know you're busy, but these kids are having the greatest night of their life, and they might not pay attention to all the traffic and jaywalking rules.
Absolutely, and they're going to run into the streets, and they're going to do those things. So be really careful and watch out for them. Like you said, particularly in those neighborhoods where there's 1,000 trick-or-treaters, you know the traffic's going to be pretty crazy in there. They even, in some instances, bring kids to those neighborhoods, and the parking's rough too. So just take extra time and be cautious and recognize it's a great holiday that everybody enjoys. So let them enjoy it and have a good time.
And you can find safety tips at the city's website as well. Just go to bloomington.in.gov, and you can search and figure them all out. And obviously, we'll pass more of those along to our listeners as we get closer and closer to it. I don't like to go back in time, but sometimes we have to. When we got off the air last Monday morning, everything was just normal, and we were having a great day. Then Monday night, I get off the air, and I'm heading down 3rd Street over to grab some Chinese food from one of my favorite spots there on 3rd and Jordan. And there's a sea of humanity directly in front of the Bloomington Police Department. Let's go back a couple of weeks. This was a protest that started peacefully down at the sample gates and made its way, kind of meandered through Bloomington and ended up in front of the Bloomington Police Department. Some cars were stopped and some drivers got into a little bit of a pickle there. And people were wondering, well, where's the police when all this is happening? Take us back to that Monday and give us essentially your side of what happened that night.
You talked about the protest, and it really was a peaceful protest. We had the one incident there towards the very end of the protest that in which someone had their window broken that had driven up into the crowd, and we're investigating that right now. We've got a complaint about the vandalism, which we're investigating. We're also looking at everybody's actions that were involved in that incident, but we knew this protest was coming. We knew that they were planning to do some kind of march. Of course, we never know exactly what their plans are. They don't get parade permits. We wouldn't offer a parade permit for that. We don't want them in the streets. We want them on the sidewalks. But our experience in this knows that that's likely what's going to happen. So we have to make some judgment calls about how we're going to handle the protest. Every protest is slightly different. But we recognize that, citizens have a right to protest, and they have a right to express their opinions. Now, we wish that they would do it by staying on the sidewalks. We wish that they would stick to the speeches at sample gates or the speeches at the courthouse lawn, stay on the sidewalks, but that just doesn't happen. So we have to keep those kinds of things in mind and try to make some decisions about how best to manage the entire event. We were present throughout the entire event. We monitored the entire event. We watched the entire event, and from all of the officers that were watching it, the experts running it, we at no time saw anyone's life at risk or in danger. And I know that some of the people that were in that incident feel differently. I know that it feels a little intense when you're down there in that crowd. I've been there. But the reality is, from stepping back and watching that, nobody's life was in danger. The community wasn't at risk. drivers had to divert. Some people had to take some extra time. I know they're frustrated about that. But balancing all the community's needs, those drivers need to get where they need to go, the right for people to protest, just some of the best actions that we felt all together was to sit back and let this protest play out. And really, it lasted only about 30 or 40 minutes and was all done.
I guess the question that would need to be asked would be, what constitutes your presence at a protest? Do sometimes groups request your presence there, or what is the determining factor? So when, you know, we've seen people on the courthouse lawn, we've seen people at the sample gates. What flips the switch to say, well, we need to have some folks down there?
Well, one of the things is we can't police every protest out there. We can't provide traffic direction. We can't block off streets to allow people to go. We would need three times the officers that we have on our department. You know, we have entire city worth of calls to take. Our manpower is stretched thin always. So for us to manage an hour protest with several hundred people, that's three times the amount of people we even have on our entire police department, much less the officers working that day, and even the officers we could bring in extra. So we can't really manage that from a manpower standpoint. We don't provide parade permits. Again, that's nothing that we're going to encourage or allow them to do. When people were to call us and ask us to be a part of things, to be present for certain things, that goes up to the chief, and he makes a determination about what's going on. But we also have to realize that from a police standpoint, we're not political. We don't want to be political. We recognize everybody's political affiliations, everybody's rights.
And you have to protect and serve everybody, regardless of it.
Everyone. Absolutely. So being involved in protests, particularly being present at these things, is one of those decisions that obviously the chief would make, but highly likely would never happen just because we would tend to then be looking like we're picking a political side, and that's not something that we would ever do. So, again,
do some of these groups want you to come to these protests because of what they've seen perhaps in the news or on television or on the internet?
Absolutely. Yeah, we definitely get some calls occasionally. Not a lot, but we get some calls occasionally about wanting to be involved and wanting to be there. We get calls asking us to direct traffic for them, to block traffic, to allow them to march in the roads, which, again, we won't do because we can't encourage that to happen. So
yeah, it's interesting because some groups think, well, if we stop traffic, we'll make more of a statement, and some groups say if we're well organized, we'll make even a better statement. So you kind of just have to take them as they come, right?
Absolutely, yeah, and like you said, there are different versions of this. There are different ideas about what proper protesting are, and each one has a different goal in mind. So that's one of the things we have to keep in mind as well, is what are some of these protesters' goals? What are they trying to do? And when we look at the protests across the United States, we have seen such a wide variety of responses to these. And we have officers with a tremendous amount of experience that study these things. We've been involved in a lot of these things, from the sports protests. We don't encourage them to close the roads either, and we have to deal with those to the protests like this, the political protests.
Yeah, and everything from beating Kentucky and running around on Kirkwood. You've seen all kinds of crowds, right, for all different kinds of reasons. Captain Steve Kellums is our guest this morning, and it was. I think what people don't understand is why it didn't look like it did on television everywhere else, and I think your explanation is very valid, and I wanted people to hear that, because even the next morning on the airwaves, we were like, well, were the police out? What's their role in all this? And I know it's 2 weeks later, but I think you did a great job of clearing that up, because it's not as seen on television. It doesn't always work that way, and I think that's very interesting.
And some of the things you're seeing on television, we don't want to see those things in Bloomington.
Amen.
We don't want our officers out there in a very confrontational attitude. We don't want them dressed up in full riot gear when they don't have to be. So we're going to be prepared to do the things that we have to do and not afraid. But as Captain Oldham said, my counterpart, Captain Scott Oldham, made a comment. He said, we can field a few complaints from angry drivers, or we can be on CNN. What do we want to do? And, it's really important to us to protect our community, keep our community safe. And so those decisions were very helpful there.
Yeah, and again, the people that were directly involved with that felt differently than people reading it in the newspaper. There's no doubt about it, but there's again, it's not as easy as turning to page 37 in the manual and saying this is exactly how things are going to happen. You hope that the people that protest, their rights are protected, and the people just going about their normal business, their rights are protected as well. Captain Steve Kellums is our guest this morning. He joins us every other Monday right here on WGCO. We get caught up on what's happening. And the other thing rolling back, you have two new brand new officers. got those sworn in last Tuesday. Congratulations to them.
Yeah, congratulations to new Officer Farmer and Officer Ridge. They both were sworn in on Monday and 2 weeks ago, and the you know, we got them hired finally. We're going to have to send them off to the Indiana Law Enforcement Academy. You know, last week we talked a little bit, or last time I was on, we talked a little bit about the hiring process that we went through.
Right.
We didn't talk about the extensive training that they go through. So everybody we hire has to attend the Indiana Law Enforcement Academy, which is a 16-week academy in Plainfield, Indiana. And they have to attend and complete that and graduate from that academy. Then when they come back to us, they have another 17 weeks of field training. So they're going to ride around with a trained officer who is not only a good cop, but he's also someone that's been trained as an instructor and a teacher who's going to teach them how to do the job as a policeman in Bloomington, Indiana, and all of our rules and regulations, the policies and procedures. And when I keep talking about the professionalism of our department, that's where we build it right there, is in that training program. So these brand new officers that just started, it's going to be about a year until they're completely finished with all of their training and being out on their own. So it's an extensive amount of training so we can get the experience.
And when that training is done, and after they go through, again, the 17 weeks here and there, then they're put out on their own, right? And is there a probationary period? They have to go 3 months, 6 months out? Does that work and continue as well?
Yeah, like Indiana has probation officers are on probation for a year.
Okay.
So in Indiana, they're going to be on probation for an entire year, and that training is going to take place during that year. So in some instances, if we hire officers that are already certified at the academy, they get to do their field training right away.
Right.
So they will work by themselves for a short period of time while they're still under probationary status before making a promotion. Their first promotion at year one goes to officer first class.
Excellent. So two new members of the force, and we welcome them to it. National Coffee with a Cop, you had that at the Monroe County Library. How did that go last week?
Went pretty good. It was our first time of doing it at the Monroe County Library, and I think it went really well. And you know, next year we kind of put that call out earlier about people that were interested in helping us out with Coffee with a Cop. Got just great responses. So look for us a lot of places, not only the rest of this year, a couple of months, but look for us next year. We're going to be out at the College Mall coming up pretty soon. I don't have the dates, but it should be real soon in November, I believe. And then you know, next year we're going to be at a lot of different places. So keep an eye out for us and look for us out in the community with the Coffee with the Cop.
Yeah, and follow the Bloomington Police Department on Facebook. You get great updates and information there. Just make sure it's the Bloomington, Indiana Police Department, not the Bloomington, Illinois, or Bloomington,
get a lot of stuff
Minnesota.
From those places. Yeah. Bloomington, Minnesota, Bloomington, Illinois, Bloomington, California. We've had a little bit of questions from everywhere. But, yeah, check us out on our Facebook page. Not only do we put the places for the Coffee with the Cops, but you'll see some Halloween safety tips up there.
Yeah, I just saw that. Perfect.
We're also keeping some lists of some upcoming Halloween events. So I think there's a few more that are coming up pretty quickly, and we'll try to get those on Facebook as well so people can figure out where to take their kids.
And speaking of events, you had Latino Night last week. You guys have been busy, busy people.
Yeah, we had Latino Night, Bloomington High School North. Officer Bazan and Sergeant Pam Bladish were there. I unfortunately had to miss that one. I was out of town for that evening, but went really well. And just another one of those opportunities we're always taking to get out and engage the community. We've really stepped up our game in that this year, and that's not going to stop for next year either. You're going to see a lot of these. The things that we've done this year have been pretty successful, so we're going to continue to add to that. And anytime we find an opportunity to do more, we're going to try to add those as well. So getting out, talking to people, and just meeting people. Been such a great thing for us this year because, again, as we've talked several times on this program about, you know, policing and what's kind of going on in the rest of the world and the rest of the United States, we're really pleased and so happy to see just all the support we've got in this community, all the people who stop by and just say thank you, and it's really nice, and our officers really enjoy it too, and I make sure I spread that information on our officers as well, because sometimes in policing it's easy to get negative. It's easy to see all the things on TV and watch all the stuff that we're seeing and start feeling pretty negative about your job and what you're doing. So all that support from the community and all that positive support goes such a long way, and we make sure our officers are really well aware of that so that they can serve Bloomington to the best of their abilities.
And serve everybody in Bloomington as well. That's the other key to this, as you're in charge of all of it. You don't get to pick and choose like you mentioned earlier, and you shouldn't. And that's what makes it a good deal. Hey, great stuff as always. We're going to see in 2 weeks, Election Day, all that stuff. Everybody, Halloween. You're always busy, aren't you?
Always busy. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the fun part about the job. You know, you never sit around with nothing to do. You've always got something to do.
Excellent. Great job as always, my friend. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
All right. Thanks, Glass. Bye bye.